Hello, and welcome back to Clinicians Brief Partner Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Beth Mollison. I'm a general practitioner and veterinarian here at Clinicians Brief. And joining me today is Dr. Cindy Barnes, a veterinarian, founder of the Million Dollar Doctor Workshop and founder of Shepherd Veterinary Software, and much more that I will let her dive into. And a big thank you today to our industry partner, Shepherd Veterinary Software, for making today's conversation possible. So Dr. Barnes, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, we are excited to have you. And I do want to hear more about your background because I think it's going to really come into play during our conversation today. So do you mind to tell us about where your career started and kind of the professional journey you've been on?
Absolutely. Yep. I started, like most people, as a vet assistant way back in the 90s, the early 90s. And kind of worked my way up the food chain, as they say. I became a veterinary technician. I went to school to become a registered vet tech in California. And then, you know, made the decision after working with an organization called Rural Area Veterinary Services, where we went out and did no-cost spays and neuters and, horse castrations and whatnot on Native American Indian reservations. They really encouraged me to, you know, consider going to veterinary school. And so I looked into it and decided that was a good decision to make for my family. I had five kids to care for, and financially, it would be a good decision to create that legacy for my family, so to speak. And so jumped into school and did the 8 years with five kids in tow.
Wow.
and graduated in 2012.
Okay, wonderful. And what about since then? I mentioned a few of the things you're involved with. How did that come about?
Oh, gosh. My career, you mean?
yes, all of the different avenues that you've pursued in only less than 10 years, essentially.
Yeah, I'm not one to sit still, that's for sure. I thought I was going to go into embryo transfer in cattle. I really focused on that in the last 2 years in vet school. It was something that was kind of fascinating to me, and I really enjoyed the science behind it. And I was working, you know, really diligently to kind of progress the science behind embryo transfer. But that really never came to fruition in my career. And I started a large animal ambulatory practice in Montana right out of vet school. And then just through circumstance and life, as we like to say, things changed, and, you know, life took me in a different direction, and I moved to Arizona and bought a kind of a small ER that was only open on nights and weekends, and grew that practice into a very successful 24/7 ER. It was the first 24/7 ER in Northern Arizona.
Wow.
That became kind of the catalyst to Shepherd Software, and built Shepherd based on necessity again, you know, through the ER, and, you know, trying to figure out a software program that would work for my practice. That's how Shepherd was born, and then creating a practice that was super successful and a practice culture that was super successful. I thought other people needed to hear my story, and I needed to share that knowledge with other practice owners so that they could enjoy that, you know, that knowledge and take it back to their practice. So that's how the Million Dollar Doctor Workshop came about as well. So,
yeah. Wow.
I mean, yes. I really enjoy sharing that information with, you know, our community so that everyone can be successful and thrive in veterinary medicine the way I have.
I love that. And yeah, like you said, it is clear you don't like to sit still. And I love that you love educating the rest of us on some of this stuff. And I know one of the things that you have talked about previously is about how one of your drivers and passion points is the idea that veterinarians deserve joy, so to speak. And I love that. I think that speaks to all of us. And in your experience, and, you know, I'm sure in my 10 or so years in general practice. I could add a few things as well, but I want to hear from you what you think gets in the way of veterinarians from finding joy. You know, what's that discrepancy between kind of that starry-eyed four-year-old who wants to be the doggy doctor and then fast forward to the reality of veterinary medicine today? Of course, I know we talk about it a lot here, but veterinarians having one of the country's highest suicide rates, high burnout rates that studies have shown were around even long before the pandemic, which I know we reference a lot. But in your experience and research, what are the big themes of the profession that stand in the way of joy?
Gosh, yeah, that's a big loaded question.
Yes, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, I mean, I guess I think about every day when I go to work and, you know, they present me with this animal that, you know, I need to care for. And the first thing you do as a veterinarian is you look at this animal and you look in their eyes and you give them a big hug and you think, oh, how cute they are and how fluffy they are and how sweet they are. And, you know, you assess the animal as a being first, right? And that animal brings you joy, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why we got into this industry in the first place, is to care for that animal. And you know how much that animal means to that, to the owners, right? And that's on you, the care of that animal and the love that that animal brings to those owners and the joy that that animal brings to those owners is your responsibility for that short period of time. And of course, I'm coming from a point of an emergency veterinarian, so it's a little more intense than a general practitioner, but also a general practitioner is responsible for, you know, the longevity of that animal's life as well, right? Mm-hmm. So it's heavy. We carry that every day, and if we let the burden of that take its toll, and if we don't really sit back and think, you know, this is a blessing. This is a blessing to be able to give this to people every single day. Then, you know, it can get heavy. And I think that that's what is leading to the burnout in our industry. And so we need to take a step back and realize that, you know, our profession and our career is really something spectacular that we can provide for people, the beauty of owning animals and all the joy that animals bring to their lives and to our lives. And the fact that we can contribute to that is amazing. So the fact that we've allowed the industry to kind of steal that from us, you know, I want to combat that. And, you know, all the pieces of veterinary medicine that have come into play that steal our joy, I think, you know, if we collectively address it and try and change it slowly but surely, I think if we all come together as an industry and fix each part of it, if we're aware of it and we address it, we can change it. And that's kind of my passion. And I think software plays a big part of it. It really does, because if you think about how much time you spend in your software as a veterinarian compared to how much time you spend examining your animal, it's an exorbitant amount of time. So that software better be user friendly, and it better be supporting you and useful and contributing to your joy, right?
Absolutely. And yeah, I like the way you view that, where you kind of take a step back and remember the power and almost the honor that we have as veterinarians to care for these species. And it is like you take two steps into the clinic and the chaos of the day kind of washes away that perspective and you're sucked in and some of that joy starts to seep out. But, I know along with that idea, one of your passions is kind of workplace culture. So I wanted to talk a little bit more, like you started to with the software, the point you were making about how much that can impact the workplace. But I want to talk about workplace culture and what some of the daily pain points are for veterinarians and vet staff, and how does the workplace culture factor into our overall happiness? And maybe the question to start with is, what do we even mean when we refer to workplace culture in the first place?
Well, I mean, honestly, you spend so much time in your life at work, right? And the people you work with become family. I mean, that's just reality. It's not kitschy to say that. I mean, they are your work family. And so you need to have a cohesive, non-toxic place to go to every day, because you're going to spend a lot of time there. Mm-hmm. And I think that so many practices have just overlooked people who are not necessarily great co-workers. I don't know how to put this without
sorry,
just
you
saying
can speak
it.
Freely.
I think that workplaces, managers, you know, they're okay with toxic employees because they show up, or mm-hmm. that, you know, they're great technicians or they're great veterinarians, but they're horrible human beings. And, you know, the two are not mutually exclusive. And, you know, the effect that a toxic human being has on the rest of the team is catastrophic. And so I think it's really important to take a look at, you know, your team as a whole. And even if you have a really great technician or a really great receptionist or a really great veterinarian, but they are passive aggressive, or that they're just a straight up bully mm-hmm. to the rest of the team, you know, you're going to destroy everybody else. So it's really amazing what happens when you remove the one thorn, you know, from the side, the rest of the team kind of rises up and fills that gap and flourishes. And so I think the industry is starting to get it. You're seeing a lot of media and a lot of information and education around the toxic work environment. And so that conversation is taking place. But I think there needs to be a safe place for people to go to talk about when things are hard or things are going wrong. You know, they need to be able to say, hey, you know, this is how I'm feeling, and things need to be addressed. You know, that's kind of my spiel on culture in the environment. And I will say, like, you know, like, I can get frustrated when things get really busy in the ER and I'm feeling overwhelmed. I make mistakes too. And I say things that I shouldn't. And I'm human, and my team knows that they can call me out, and they have, and they're like, hey, I don't like the way you just said that. That doesn't make me feel good. And my response should always be, and it is, you're right. I'm sorry. That was wrong of me to say. And that's kind of the environment that, you know, hospitals need to have to have a healthy work environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you relate it to family, but it's similar. That open communication can go a long way. And I really like how you talk about the toxic employees. I feel like it is becoming a more common topic, but I do feel like there's still kind of that hushed nature in the veterinary profession where we don't want to acknowledge the damage that one toxic team member, or even toxic relationships among the team members, can cause. And I do think they just have an effect that's maybe so much greater than a lot of people are willing to acknowledge. So I love hearing you talk openly about that. And I think especially in this era of staffing shortages, it becomes a challenge where continue on just having numbers despite maybe some toxicity. But
It's a catch-22 right now, because, you know, we're short-staffed everywhere. And so it's like, well, you know, do you want this employee or do you want any, you know,
right,
any employee? And the problem is, if you might lose three good employees by keeping the one toxic employee.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Over my 10 years in practice, I think it's finally been demonstrated enough times into how much it almost never pays off to keep the toxic employees. So my observations are similar to yours. But I do also want to dive into the problems that, of course, we think are maybe even more solvable. So the things that we potentially have even more control over if we're not part of the management team, and the things that you set out to solve when you created Shepherd Software. So tell us some of the things that you were experiencing that made you say there has to be a better way, again, particularly in the software realm.
Yeah. So, I mean, in my practice, the catalyst to starting Shepherd was the things that I was noticing in my own practice, which was, mischarges, multiple inputs, like, you had to create an estimate, then you had to create a treatment plan, and then you had to create discharge instructions, and then you had to manually enter all of the treatments that you administered and the charges, and so many double and triple and quadruple entries. And that's where errors come in, and that's how you miss charges, right? And it took so long to get clients out the door, if the animal wasn't hospitalized and it was just an outpatient deal. And so I just thought there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better flow. And that's, that was the catalyst for Shepherd. And what we created in Shepherd was the ability to create an estimate, have it signed electronically, have that estimate automatically become a treatment plan. That treatment plan can be administered directly through the software. It becomes the medical record. It records who administered it, date and time stamped. And that's a medical record that is a legal medical record. And that goes right to the invoice automatically. So you never have to miss a charge. So as long as you're medical record is accurate, your invoice is accurate, and your discharges are done automatically. And so it takes all of the busy work and does it for you.
Wonderful. And another big thing about your software is that it's cloud-based. And I'm going to be honest, but I've never worked with cloud-based. So kind of my first reaction was like, no, please don't make me take my work home with me. Of course, one of the big perks of cloud-based, depending on how you look at it, is that it offers that flexibility to be able to remotely access your records. And of course, the goal isn't to do more work at home, but rather to, again, improve that flexibility for the practice and to allow access to that important information from anywhere. And especially, people out there, I'm a mom of two kids, and the idea of like needing to be somewhere right after work where I have to leave on time. And then, you're sweating for 8 hours that day trying to wonder if you're going to get everything done in time. So I certainly think that the flexibility just in that one scenario would be a relief. But I've never worked with, again, cloud-based software. So do you mind to share some of the benefits that you've seen in practice over kind of the non-cloud-based options?
Yeah, absolutely. And the practice I work at right now, because I sold my ER to fund the software company, so I don't own the ER anymore. And the practice I work at right now is not cloud-based. So I understand both sides of it intimately. But, what's interesting about that is there's two sides to this. One, Shepherd allows you to get your records done so quickly that theoretically you're never going to need to do work from home, right? Mm-hmm. So your medical records really should just take you minutes, and you're going to go home and never think about your medical records so you can focus on your family, which is ultimately the goal in adding to your joy, right? As a mom with a DVM, which of course is my big focus in life, is supporting the moms with a DVM. But the nice thing about having cloud-based software is, there's going to be those cases that you want to follow up on. You want to see what's happening with your hospitalized cases. You want to see what's happening with, the lab work, or you want to go back and you want to see, you have someone call you at home and say, so-and-so called and they want to know, they have some questions about a case, and you have access to it. You can look at your record from home and you don't have to worry about going into the office to get access or have someone email you something. So having full access to your medical records is amazing. Or, there are people, I will just tell you this outright, there are people that aren't really great at getting their medical records done, in real time. They will put it off. I mean, there's just those types. And so maybe they want to just go home and do it, the next day when they have a few minutes to focus. And, if that's your jam, great. And you have that flexibility. So to me, I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. Some people like that quiet environment, which usually the clinic is not. And as we talk about the important elements of a practice management software, what other key features? I know you mentioned a few of them. Are there any others that both in Shepherd or any other management software, any key features that you think people should be on the lookout for if they are in the market?
Well, yeah, I mean, gosh, I mean, all I can speak to obviously is what we've created in Shepherd. And I think if you're looking for software, you really need to hold the high standard these days, because there's some really great software programs out there, and we're all working really hard to bring you amazing software. And I'd like to say that, you know, when I created Shepherd 6 years ago, I kind of lit the fire underneath everyone because no one was really doing anything great. And then when Shepherd came along, all of a sudden everyone's like, whoa, who is this person and what are they doing? We better get going. And all of a sudden everyone started coming out of the woodwork going, you know, let's start, you know, focusing on software. So I'd like to say that, you know, I started, you know, something great. But, you know, you need to hold the standard for, you know, great inventory, great automation, right? You need to have great SOAPs, something that just is very easy to input. You know, your medical record should be very simple. It should be capturing your charges automatically so that you never miss charges. Everything should be auto-completed. You never have to worry about, gosh, I completed these vaccinations, so, you know, when is the next vaccinations due? That should all be automated. Your reminders should be all automated. It should have a pet portal. Your estimates should be able to be signed electronically. You should be able to, you know, text and email through the software. You know, it should be fully connected to all of the major labs, Zoetis, IDEXX, Antech, and a really robust search function. You know, those are the things that we have in Shepherd. And I think that's the standard for most software these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say of all the advances in technology the last few decades, it would be nice to think that it could, spill right over into veterinary medicine and make our lives easier. So that's pretty cool, all of the capabilities. So yes, that is wonderful. Thank you for sharing those.
The nation's fastest growing practice management software, Shepherd Veterinary Software, streamlines daily practice management. Founded by Dr. Cindy Barnes, Shepherd automatically updates the medical record and invoice, generates discharge instructions, and more. Visit www.shepherd.vet to learn more today.
And then, Dr. Barnes, given all your experience and expertise, can you offer our listeners some sort of actionable things that they can implement right now, like without any software changes, to improve the workplace culture or efficiency, or to start decreasing maybe daily frustrations in the clinic? I know you've been in several different environments. Are there any tips that you've picked up that you can share?
Yeah, absolutely. This is my passion. I think I've been harping for years about utilizing your technician. So this is my jam for sure. So obviously implementing your technician utilization. You utilize your technicians for everything. I mean, they need to be able to do everything in the practice that they are trained to do. They want to do these things, right? So technician utilization, there is a ton of information on the internet on tech utilization, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be utilizing them for everything. Providing them with generous continuing education, right? Send your technicians to these conferences. I personally would pay for all of their travel. I would pay for their salaries when they were there. You know, be generous with that. It really does come back threefold. you know, they feel like they are well cared for. And it just increases their job satisfaction and helps them to feel like, you know, they're in a career that matters when, you know, they mm-hmm. go into these conferences and they learn and they bring back that information. And it makes all the difference. So generous CE, provide estimates for everything to your clients. It just makes such a difference when the clients, I can't tell you how many times clients, even in ER, they're like, yeah, do whatever he needs until they see the estimate. And then they're like, oh, so provide an estimate for everything, even if it's just, you know, a simple exam and vaccinations. Estimates make a difference. Clients need to see up front what they're paying for and explain, you know, what you're recommending. Client education is a great opportunity to educate the clients. In the practice that I work at, the estimates are reviewed by the technicians, and it's a great time to educate the clients. You know, I obviously explain to the clients before the estimate is presented what I'm recommending and why I'm recommending those things, but then the technician reviews the estimate. So estimates for everything, discharge instructions for everything, you know, review what was done, why it was done, aftercare, if that's important, even, you know, vaccinations, you know, what to monitor for, you know, in vaccine reactions and so on and so forth. I think discharges are really, really important. You know, client education provides value. When the client feels like they have received value for their money, it goes a long way. And then, you know, utilize your software automation. Look into what that software offers, whether it's cloud-based or server-based, utilize that software automation. And then, you know, the technicians can do the majority of the callbacks. You know, I think a lot of stress is put on doctors because, you know, they're doing all these callbacks, and utilize your technicians. The only time a doctor really needs to do a callback is if there's blood work that has complications that the doctor needs to review, or if the client, you know, has a problem. But in blood work that is normal, or lab results that are normal, you know, technicians can make those calls. Telemedicine, I think that's, you know, a hot topic. I think we can utilize telemedicine in everyday practice to really help our clients and to improve our, you know, the fact that right now we're not able to get a lot of clients in, we're short-staffed, telemedicine can help. There's a blog on Shepherd's website talking about the utilization of telemedicine. Go there and check it out. I think we can utilize it. There's lots of information on the internet about utilizing telemedicine, even in general practice, to kind of relieve the fact that we can't get clients in and clients can't be seen. And then, you know, building a strong relationship with your ER. Stop trying to see every single patient. Get the patients in that, you know, you can see. Things that are sick that need to go to the ER, build a strong relationship with your ER, send those things to the ER, see the patients that you can see, get your good clients in there, you know, see the urgent stuff that, you know, that don't need to be hospitalized, that don't need to be worked up, you know, get your wellness patients in there and send the sick things to the ER, let them handle it. Clients are going to be happier when they don't have to be transferred at the end of the day to the ER anyway. And, you know, work closely with your ER. There's always been this big tension between day practice and ER. It just would go a long way for the clients if you work well with the ER and you have a good cohesive relationship. And then the last and final thing is I've seen a lot of day practices stop doing things like nail trims. It takes a lot of resources in the practice to just do nail trims. Delegate that to, you know, your groomers, your local, you know, Petcos and things like that. And if the client wants a nail trim, it has to be incorporated with other services. It's not a standalone service anymore. It just takes up too much resources that need to be utilized for other things that need to be veterinary based, not service based. So we need to refocus what we're doing in veterinary medicine because, you know, times are changing.
Absolutely. I love that. So much good advice packed into that question. So thank you. And Dr. Barnes, we have made it to what we call the Keep It Brief segment, where we kind of go off topic just for a second and ask a freestyle question here. So my question for you is, I know this is probably a big question, but you can keep it brief. Just what would be one piece of advice that you would offer to new veterinary school grads or vet students? What would be your one little token of advice for them?
Oh, gosh. You know, don't worry about your student loans. They are going to take care of themselves. Don't worry about the debt. I mean, that it to me is like, everyone's so worried about student debt. It's going to take care of itself. You're going to make a lot of money in veterinary medicine. You're going to grow your career. Just pay the minimum, do the income-based repayment programs, go to VIN, talk to Dr. Tony Bartel, and don't worry about your debt. Enjoy your career. Don't focus on the money. Focus on enjoying your career, finding your joy, finding the part of VetMed that really speaks to you, that allows you to flourish and be successful. And then the money will come. The debt will pay for its, you know, will take care of itself.
Such good advice, Dr. Barnes. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with us. I love hearing veterinary medicine from your perspective, and we love hearing from people who are advocates of joy in general, but especially in veterinary medicine. So thank you so much for sitting down with us. And a very big thank you to our industry partner, Shepherd Software, for making this conversation today possible.
Thanks again to our sponsor and to today's guest for joining us, and thanks to you all for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. While you're there, please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. We would appreciate if you leave us all the stars. You can also listen to podcasts on our website at cliniciansbrief.com/podcasts. And you can also drop us a line at podcasts@briefmedia.com. Clinicians Brief Partner Podcast is a Brief Media production.